Grant Othello, John LeMessurier, and Clive Dunn in Dad's Army. The Godiva Affair, featuring John Laurie, Arnold Ridley, and Ian Lavender, with this week's guest, Bill Pertwee, Frank Williams, Larry Martin, Julian Orchard, and Morris Sugden. Here is the news, and this is John Snagg reading it. The war continues to be fought on land, sea, and in the air, and the supreme efforts of our armed services are beginning to prick the pomposity of Adolf Hitler and the Third Reich. In England, everything metal, right down to housewives' saucepans, has been turned into guns or aeroplanes. Down on the south coast at Warmington-on-Sea, Captain Mannering is addressing his unit.
Right, men. Now, as I told you last night, I intend to devote the rest of this evening's parade to discussing our contribution to the Warmington Spitfire Fund procession next Saturday. As you know, the object of the exercise is to raise a further £2,000, which the town still needs before it can buy its first Spitfire. Summers?
Yes, sir?
I don't want anyone outside our own ranks to know what we're planning until the actual day. So, before we start our rehearsal, are you quite sure that there's no one else on the premises?
Quite sure, sir.
What about the doors?
They're all locked.
Oh, I'm glad about that. I don't fancy the idea of people rushing in and trying to put us out of our misery.
Enough of that defeatist talk. I know we're not exactly the Huddersfield Choral Society, but all we need is sufficient rehearsal.
About 5 years might do it.
Now, before we start, a word about costumes. I've been giving the matter a good deal of thought, and I think that the most suitable attire would be simple Cornish yokel smocks.
Where are we going to get them from?
From a simple Cornish yokel.
Now, on Saturday, when we've completed our rendition of the Cornish floral dance, we will need someone to collect money from the crowd.
Blimey, you'll deserve a medal for bravery.
I shall ignore that remark, Walker. By way of a sort of extra excitement, I've arranged to hire a small horse's head from a firm of theatrical costumers in Eastbourne, and this will be worn by the person collecting the money.
Bottom!
I beg your pardon?
Bottom, sir. I expect the horse's head was worn by the fella that played in Shakespeare's Midsummer Night's Dream, eh?
Oh, I see. Uh-huh. Yeah. Quite probably. Anyway, on this occasion, it will be worn by Sergeant Wilson, who will be collecting the money from the crowd.
I don't think I really like the idea of asking strangers for money.
No, don't be silly. Perfectly simple. Hmm? All you've got to do is gallop around the edge of the crowd and pull open the horse's mouth for them to put the money in.
Is that all?
No, not quite. While you're doing it, you make jocular remarks.
What sort of jocular remarks?
Oh, I don't know. You could say, har, 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 give till it hurts, har, har, har.
Har, 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 give till it hurts, har, har, har.
Permission to comment, sir. If we're going to collect £2,000, you'd have to be a bit more jocular than that, sir.
I know. Why can't he say, we need Spitfires to beat the Hun, put money in my mouth and it goes to my tum.
Yes. Very good. Well, anyway, we better start rehearsing. Now, have you all got your sheet music for the Cornish floral dance?
I love it. Yes,
good. Now, most of you know the tune. It's very simple. In fact, the first bit's nearly all on one note, like this. La 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 la. See? Mm-hmm. Right, Wilson. Just play the tune through for them in single notes, right?
Sorry, sorry. That note seems to be broken.
And play the next one to it.
No, that's not the right note.
All right, play one like it.
Well, there isn't one like it in this part of the keyboard.
Now, look, Wilson. Don't you try and blind me with science.
Tell you what, sir, I can manage it an octave lower.
Well, do that then.
Right.
Yeah, that's it. Right. Let's take this bit first, shall we? All together. One, two.
As I walked on the summer, my stars in heaven were shining bright.
far away from the moonlight's land. Heading to the
That doesn't seem to be quite right.
You know, I think it's a teeny-weeny bit low.
Shall I try it a teeny-weeny bit higher?
Yes, yes, please do.
Right.
All right, here we go again, then. One, two.
As I walk through the
high. We don't want the one below. Or the one up there. The one in the middle.
Oh, I can't stand any more of this. Listen to me and I'll give it a... As I walked home in the summer light when stars in heaven were shining bright.
There, how's that, eh?
Terrible. Wrong key, you see, it should be.
Oh, no, Mr. Jones, it's got to be much harder than that. It's got to be.
I think it should be lower. Far.
Will you all be quiet? Be quiet. Now, let's carry on, shall we?
Sir, I think I found out what's wrong with the piano.
Yeah.
Just a minute. There you are. Yes. Yes. There's something blocking the notes.
It's a bottle of whiskey.
Yeah.
Walker, does this belong to you?
In a way, yeah.
How dare you use the vicar's piano for illegal purposes? Get rid of that bottle.
But if you say so. Mind you, it's a pity. It's the whiskey you ordered last week.
You, what?
What shall I do with it, sir?
Just put it out of sight for the time being.
Right.
Now, let's take it from the top, shall we? Yeah. Now, we need someone for the solo. Born from afar on the gentle breeze.
Permission to speak, sir?
Yeah.
I'd like to volunteer to be born from afar on the gentle breeze.
All right. Everybody ready? One, two.
As I walked home on a summer night, when stars in heaven were shining bright, far away from the footlights' glare, into the sweet and the scented air, away from Coney Town.
Born from afar on the gentle breeze, joined in the murmur of summer sea, distant
town.
What's the matter, sir?
You came in too soon.
Oh, sorry, sir.
Let's try it again. From into the sweet and scented air. One, two.
Into the sweet and the scented air of a quaint old Cornish town.
Walk from far a gentle breeze, join the murmur of summer sea, the distant days of an old. I'm sorry, sir, I was born too soon again.
Yes.
Premature love, sir.
Yeah, all right, don't you start, Fraser. I think we'll go on to the next bit. I thought I could hear the curious tone of the cornet, clarinet, and big trombone. Fiddle, cello, big bass drum, bassoon, flute, and euphonium. Now, I think we'll split this up. Godfrey, you take the cornet and clarinet.
Cornet and clarinet, yes, sir.
Fraser, big trombone.
Aye, sir.
Pike, you take the fiddle and the cello.
All right, Miss Menreen.
And something amusing you, Wilson.
Well, yeah, I'm just thinking, sir. Wouldn't it be better if Walker was on the fiddle? Do you know what I mean?
Walker, you take the big bass drum.
Righto, sir. Big bass drum.
Jones, bassoon and flute.
Oh, thank you, sir. I'm glad to see you've not usurped your trust in me, sir.
We're one short. No one to do the euphonium.
Why don't we split it up, Mr. Mannering? Jonesy can be to you, I'll be the phony, and Pikey can be the ump.
Any more remarks like that, and I'll send you home. Now, for the time being, I will do the euphonium. Right. Are we ready? One, two.
I thought I heard the curious tone of the cornet, clarinet,
big trombone,
fiddle, cello,
bassoon, flute.
Here, hang on, that was my big bass drum.
What do you think they're doing?
I'm sorry, Mr. Manning. I'm afraid I'm not quite myself tonight.
I think we'll leave it at that for this evening. We'll have another go tomorrow. You can dismiss now. Alec Jones, what's the matter with you? You don't seem to be able to concentrate this evening.
I know, sir. I'm afraid I cannot cover it up any longer, sir. I'm in a highly nervous state.
Well, you'd better come in the office. Wilson, I'd like you in on this, please.
All right, carry, sir.
Sit down, Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Manning.
Now, what's the matter? Got some trouble at home?
No, sir. Got trouble away from home.
Well, you know what they say? Trouble shared is a trouble halved. You'd better tell us about it.
Well, sir, it's a very delicate matter, you see. It's Mrs. Fox.
Mrs. Fox?
Yes, sir. She's a widowed lady, and we both have a certain arrangement. And recently, we've been walking out together.
Walking out where?
All over the place.
Oh.
On Saturday nights, I take a couple of chops round to her place, and we have supper together, and afterwards we sit and listen to In Town Tonight.
Mm.
And when the man says, "Carry on, London," I go home. See, sir, there's nothing like, you know, like that between Mrs. Fox and myself. It's purely a Teutonic affair.
Yes. I can't really see what all this has to do with your lack of concentration tonight.
Well, recently, you see, sir, Mrs. Fox's affection has been taken by another.
Ah, who?
Mr. Upton, the town clerk.
Town clerk?
Her head has been turned by the gay life that he's showing her. Old-time dancing at Pemsey Bay. Whist drives in Eastbourne. What can I offer? I'm but a simple butcher.
Well, I appreciate your problem, Jones, but I don't really think that I can help.
You could speak to her for me, sir.
Oh, no. I couldn't possibly interfere.
You must, sir. You must. Look, now, I've written down her phone number. I know I can rely on you not to spread it around.
Yes, but I mean, this is...
Please, please speak to her, Mr. Mannering. Otherwise, I should be a broken man. And after all, sir, what use is a broken large corporal to you?
Well, Wilson, what do you make of that?
Well, I'm not really sure, sir. What are you going to do?
I don't know.
Hmm?
Suppose I could talk to her. Perhaps I ought to point out what sort of a man this town clerk is. Yes, I'll give her a ring tomorrow. Arrange a meeting. Now, I wonder where the best place would be.
Well, there's a telephone in your office at the back, so you could use that.
I'm not talking about making the call. I'm talking about the rendezvous.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry, sir.
Ought really to be in a relaxed sort of atmosphere.
Mm.
And on neutral ground. I know. Over morning coffee at the Marigold Tea Rooms.
Now, look, sir, there's a table for two over there by the Asphodistra.
Ah, yes, that'll do. You know, Wilson, I didn't realize this place is going to be quite so busy as it is. Doesn't do for a man in my position to be seen in a public place with a flashy woman like her. In a small town like this, tongues wag, you know. Tongues wag. Look out. I think this is her now. You'd better go and sit somewhere else.
Yeah, all right, sir. Yes, sir. Good luck.
Hello, Mr. Mannering.
Good morning, Mrs. Fox.
Oh, I hope I'm not late.
No. Please sit down.
Thank you.
Now then... Mrs. Fox?
Yes, Mr. Mannering?
I've asked you to meet me here today to discuss a very delicate matter.
Yes, Mr. Mannering.
You'll have to excuse my hesitancy. But I find things which are concerned with the emotions very embarrassing.
Oh, you needn't be shy with me, Mr. Mannering.
Thank you. The fact is, Mrs. Fox... You're a very attractive woman.
Ooh.
Particularly to older men.
You're attractive too, Mr. Mannering.
Well, that's really got nothing to do with it.
Oh, but you are, you are.
Well, we won't argue about it. The point is, Mrs. Fox, you've had Mr. Jones as an admirer for some years, and now... You have another.
Oh, Mr. Mannering.
I realize, of course, that being a public figure, this new admirer is of great attraction to you.
Oh, yes, Mr. Mannering, he is indeed.
Jones, on the other hand, is just a simple butcher. But he is a very loyal member of my platoon, and I don't want him hurt.
We won't hurt him, Mr. Mannering.
We?
Mr. Jones can have Mondays and Saturdays, and you can have Tuesdays and Fridays.
I'm talking about Mr. Upton, the town clerk. Have you forgotten about him?
No, of course not. He can have Wednesday.
What?
Excuse me, Mr. Mannering.
Oh. You, Pike. What exactly do you want, boy?
Mrs. Mannering's on the phone. Well, I told her that you were out having coffee with Mrs. Fox and...
Stupid boy. I tell you, Wilson, that woman, that dreadful woman, actually thought that I had amorous intentions towards her.
Well, how awfully embarrassing for you, sir.
And to crown it all, when Elizabeth phoned up, that stupid boy Pike told her I was having coffee with Mrs. Fox. It was hell to pay when I got home. On top of all that, she rang me 12 times at the bank today. She rings again this evening during the parade. I want you to tell her I'm not here. Do you understand?
Yes, all right, sir.
Evening, Captain Mannering, Sergeant Wilson.
Yeah. Hello,
Joseph. Sergeant, if you use your personal door and come through the office like this, Mr. Mannering, the main door into the hall appears to be shut and not open.
Yes, that's all right, Jones.
By the way, sir, I'd like to thank you for speaking to Mrs. Fox. I'm sure you had a great effect on her.
Yes, I'm quite sure he did.
Sorry, Captain, this way, Captain.
Well, sorry.
The hall door's unlocked.
Mr. Rogers shouted at us and told us to go away.
I'll sort this out.
If that's you, Napoleon, keep out!
Oh, Lord, it sounds like Hodges again. I really do think that man is dreadfully uncouth.
Yes. What do you think he's playing it?
Well, after all, you see, it is his night to have the hall, sir.
I know that. No need for him to lock all the doors. Anyway, we'd better get started. Fraser,
I
put the Lewis gun on the desk here, will you?
Righto, sir. There he is, sir.
Thank you. Right, Jones. I want you to show the men how to strip the Lewis gun down in 2 minutes.
Very good, sir.
Well, go on. And why haven't you started?
You told me to do it in 2 minutes. I'll wait till that time has eloped.
No. I didn't mean wait 2 minutes. I meant do it in 2 minutes. Straight away.
You're getting me a bit confused.
Oh, get on. Now, the rest of you watch very carefully.
We'll do that.
Uncle Arthur.
What is it, Frank?
I've just been having a look through the keyhole into the hall. It's full of naked ladies.
What? Stupid Frank. Just pay attention to what Jones is doing.
But it's true, I tell you. Have a look for yourself. Come on, have a look.
All right. Very well. I'm quite sure you're mistaken, but... Good heavens. Oh.
Now, be very careful when you get to the breach.
Shall we tell Mr. Mannering about the girls, Uncle Arthur?
Well, I really don't know.
Answer the phone, Wilson, will you?
Yeah, all right, sir. Yes. Hello, Warmington. Warmington 333.
Hurry up, Jones. You've only got 30 seconds left.
Oh, good evening. Just a minute. It's Mrs. Mannering, sir.
Elizabeth?
Yes.
I told you to tell her I'm not here.
Yes, of course. I'm so sorry, sir. Hello, Mrs. Mannering. I'm terribly sorry to have kept you, but I'm afraid Mr. Mannering isn't here.
You, Mr. Mannering, I'm here.
All right, sir. Yes.
Oh, really? My wife's bound to have heard that.
I wouldn't be surprised if they had it off Beachy Head.
Lovely evening, isn't it?
Not here, Mrs. Fox. What do you think you're doing, bursting into my lectures like this?
No, I'm sorry, Mr. Mannering. I'm just passing through to get to the hall. I'll be out of your way in a minute. Mr. Upton, you! It's only little me.
Little?
Who's she kidding?
Can you let me in?
Coming, Mrs. Fox.
Oh, hello, my dear. Come in. You're just in time.
Oh, good. I didn't want to keep you waiting.
Mr. Mannering, stop him, Mr. Mannering. What's he doing in there?
I don't know, Jones, but I intend to find out. Come on, Wilson.
All right, sir.
Let's have the next girl, then.
Good Lord, Wilson.
Look at all these girls.
Yes, I am, sir.
Well, don't keep staring at them. Get them covered up.
What with?
Mike, you better go back in the office.
Why?
Don't argue, boy. Just shut your eyes and go.
Oh, really, Captain Marrick, all this fuss over a few girls.
I'm surprised at you, Vicar, getting mixed up in something like this. Half-naked girls. Good Lord, before we know what's happening, the whole thing could develop into a modern thing of me and Gomorrah.
Sort of.
I beg your pardon.
Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis chapter 19, verse 24.
Oh, yes. Right. Hodges, what's the meaning of this?
Look, Napoleon, just buzz off, will you? This is my night to have the all, so this is none of your business.
Of course it's my business. You've no right to have half-naked girls in my headquarters. Especially without asking me.
Well, I didn't know you wanted to come and watch.
How dare you?
How many times must I remind you, Mr. Mannering, that it is my church hall, and I have given permission to these charming ladies to be here?
Oh, Mr. Upton, shall I change into my swimming costume now?
I didn't think I could stand the shock.
Certainly, my dear. Go and get changed. I'll show you the way.
He's at it again, Mr. Mannering. Mrs. Fox doesn't need to be shown the way to put her costume on.
He's not going to show her how to put it on. He's going to show her where to put it on.
Even worse.
Go be quiet, girl. Hodges, I demand an explanation.
Oh, keep your ear on. We're just choosing a girl for next Saturday to play the part of Lady Godiva in the procession.
Oh, I see. Lady Godiva?
Yes, it's a tribute to the brave city of Coventry.
Mrs. Fox won't be a moment.
Mr. Town Clerk, do I understand that one of these young ladies is going to ride bare through the streets of Warmington-on-Sea?
That is correct, Mr. Manning. The girl won't actually be bare, of course. She'll wear a fleshings.
It's quite all right, sir. You see, they're all over body tights. You see, perfectly respectable.
All over body tights?
Yeah. We're not living in Victorian times, you know.
Mr. Upton, could I have a word in your ear?
Certainly, my dear.
Will you see it like this?
Yes. He's doing it again, Mr. Manning. He's doing it again. Stop him. You've got to stop him, Mr. Manning.
Will you be quiet, Jones? Not here, Mr. Upton. I demand...
Just one moment, Miss Manning. I think we have a solution. Now, you don't want one of these young girls as Lady Godiva, do you? Yes. Now, it has just been pointed out to me that Lady Godiva Learfreak was, in fact, a woman of mature years. So, in the cause of historical accuracy, I suggest that Lady Godiva should be, Mrs. Fox.
No, no!
Now, quiet, please, quiet. Mrs. Fox will be perfectly respectable, covered from top to toe in fleshings and wearing a wig of long golden tresses.
Oh,
and...
you'll never cover her up with long golden tresses. You'll need a bell tent.
Just a minute, Elizabeth.
Come in.
Oh, I'm so sorry, sir. I didn't realize you were on the phone.
Come in, Wilson. I won't be a moment.
All right, sir.
No, Elizabeth. Of course... No, I haven't rung off. I've just been waiting for you to stop talking. Yes, Elizabeth. No, Elizabeth. It was the town clerk, Mr. Upton, who decided that Lady Godiva should be played by somebody more mature. But by somebody of rather more ample proportions. What? Yes, I know that you have more ample proportions than Mrs. Fox. But you're not Lady Godiva, are you? Hello. Oh. Just having a chat to the little woman.
Oh, I see. What little woman?
My wife, of course. Come in.
Mr. Mannering.
What now?
I've lost her, Mr. Mannering.
What are you talking about, Jones?
Mrs. Fox, I've lost her. Ever since the town clerk asked her to be Lady Godiva, her head's been turned completely right round. And what am I going to do?
I'm afraid this is what comes of women interfering in men's affairs. But have you thought, Jones, that perhaps losing Mrs. Fox like this is the best thing that could have happened? Just think how you'd feel if you saw your lady friend riding through the streets of Warmington
clad only in her...
Fletching.
Thank you, Pike. I know how I would feel if it was anyone close to me. If you'd take my advice, Jones, let sleeping dogs lie.
Let sleeping dogs lie. Thank you, sir. Here, Pikey.
Yeah?
What have dogs got to do with it?
Well, Wilson, here we are. This is the big day.
Yes, sir, yes.
Right, man, now can I have your attention for a moment, please? Now, some of you may be wondering why we're hiding here behind the drawn blinds of the function room of the Marigold Tea Rooms.
No, sir, after 2 years under your command, nothing comes as a surprise anymore.
Now, the plan is this. As soon as the end of the procession has gone past, Jones will open the door, and we will burst out of the tea rooms into the street, form up, and sing the Cornish floral dance.
I'm not sure I'm awfully good at bursting out of tea rooms.
Just have to do the best you can, Godfrey.
Hey, here comes the procession now, Mr. Manreen.
Right, Pike. Don't pull the blind back like that. People will see in. Who can that be?
Sounds like the back door, Mr. Manreen. I'll see who it is.
Thank you, Walker.
Mr. Jones! Mr. Jones!
Mrs. Fox, what's happened?
It was terrible, terrible!
There, Mrs. Fox, don't upset yourself. You're with your little Jack now.
No time for all that now. What's the matter, Mrs. Fox? What's happened?
Oh, it was terrible, Mr. Mannering, terrible!
Oh, don't start all that over again. What's this about?
Well, I went to the town hall to change in one of the rooms,
yes.
And I put my wig and fleshings on a chair while I went out to... pardon my nose. I was only away for a moment, and when I came back, they were gone. Gone! Gone!
Pity, we're not going to see Lady Godiva after all.
Oh, well, it's up to us now.
Wait a minute, Mr. Mannering. There is a Lady Godiva. I can see someone on the hall.
Pike, get away from that window. Let me have a look.
You told me not to pull the blind back just now.
Don't argue, boy. Get out of the way.
Mr. Mannering, don't look, sir. Don't look.
Oh, don't be absurd, Jones. You're not a child. Where is she? Oh, no. Oh, no. I don't believe it. Can't be. It is. Ah.
Oh, speak to me, Mr. Mannering. Oh, Mr. Mannering, come round at once, come round.
I don't understand. Why has Mr. Mannering fainted?
Because Lady Godiva is being played by Mrs. Mannering.
What?
Oh, poor Mr. Mannering. He'll never get over the shock.
Oh, hi, and neither will the horse.
That episode of Dad's Army, based on the original television series by Jimmy Perry and David Croft, you heard Arthur Lowe as Captain Mannering, John LeMessurier as Sergeant Wilson, Clive Dunn, Corporal Jones, John Lawley, Private Fraser, Arnold Ridley, Private Godfrey, Ian Lavender, Private Pike, Bill Pertwee, Chief Warden Hodges, Frank Williams, the Vicar, Larry Martin, Private Walker, Julian Orchard, Mr. Upton, the Town Clerk, and Molly Sugden as Mrs. Fox. Additional music was provided by Dennis Gobb. The Godiva Affair was adapted for radio by Harold Snowd and Michael Knowles and produced by John Dyas.